Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is April Guess. April works for the CIA. And before you get worried, it's the Culinary Institute of America. April grew up in Humboldt County, worked at the Eureka Inn Rib Room and the Bembo Inn in Garberville, on her way to be her role as the Director of Education for the CIA in San Antonio, Texas. April, how old were you when you first knew that you wanted to pursue a career in food?
As I like to joke, there's never been a plan B. It's literally been the only thing that I've ever wanted to do from the time I was probably 3, 4, and 5 years old. So as I like to joke, I've never worked a day in my life because I've been doing what I absolutely love, which is in some way or another being in the professional kitchen, working with people who are also pursuing the passion of food and preparing food, whether for a career or whether for their own personal, you know, improvement or enhancement as far as being a food enthusiast and working in a kitchen, if it's their home kitchen, or being a professional and looking for advancement within their career, or being, like we have mostly here at the CIA, or degree seekers. And those are individuals who are just starting in their career. So for me, I remember being really young, and I was fortunate. My mom was also very supportive of my interest in being a chef or cooking. So I remember some of the earliest things I would do would be make breakfast for her. And so making eggs in the morning, barely being tall enough to, you know, see above the stove, and really learning everything from there. She really encouraged me to continue to explore that. And so we'd go grocery shopping, and I'd be making the list, you know, of items that I wanted to buy and discovering recipes. And one of my favorite books was actually my original cookbook, which was given to me by my grandparents in 1977, so I was like 6 years old. It was the Good Housekeeping Illustrated Cookbook. What's great is, you know, at 6 years old, I'm just learning to read. I'm like in first grade, so my reading skills aren't all that great. But the beauty of the illustrated cookbook was that not only did every single recipe have a picture of the finished product, but every single step in the recipes had a line sketch, a drawing of what tool was needed. So if I didn't know how to say the word whisk, I certainly can look at the picture and see, oh, okay, well, great, we have that tool right here. And so when they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, I truly believe that, because I was able to really be, I don't want to say self-taught, but really get to the end product by looking at the picture of the end product and kind of figuring out how to get there along the way.
Sure.
So like I say, there's no plan B. It's the only thing that I've ever wanted to do, and have pursued it happily for the last 40-some years of my 45-year life. So,
and were there other people along the way that influenced and mentored you? I know your mom did. Were there other people?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was fortunate to travel around quite a bit with my parents when we were growing up. So we'd go down to San Francisco, go to nice restaurants, go to New York City, go to nice restaurants. So I was exposed to quite a few, you know, opportunities like that, not necessarily one in particular person, but there was definitely exposure to, you know, a lot of different techniques. We went to farmers markets. We went to certainly grocery stores that had some really great stuff. We'd go to Chinatown. I remember going to Chinatown in San Francisco when I was really young and going and looking at the different produce and different proteins. We also subscribed to like Bon Appetit and Food and Wine magazine and Gourmet magazine, and I read through those things. I'll tell you what, I could name like all the chefs in the 80s. So I think in that sense, you know, knowing the Alice Waters, the Jeremiah Towers, you know, really San Francisco celebrity chefs, I was always digging through those magazines looking for their names.
I was wondering too, did you watch a lot of food TV shows?
You know, really back in the 80s and stuff, there wasn't the food network that we know today. So the exposure that I had to food TV and demonstrations and cooking shows was really kind of limited. We certainly had Julia Child, and I remember that as, you know, that was on PBS. And I think most of the shows were on the public TV, on Keat TV growing up. So
right, there was
I know like the Frugal Gourmet was on there.
I was going to say that the Frugal Gourmet is who I remember.
Yeah, Frugal Gourmet and then Julia Child. And those are probably the two that I remember. And actually, I don't watch the Food Network at all. I think because I didn't get my start there. other than the one cooking show a week that would come on like Saturday, you know, probably during the time I was sleeping.
Yeah, and I think it's become more of an entertainment rather than an educational tool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I enjoyed it more when it was more about teaching different foods that maybe I didn't have experience with.
Yeah. And I would agree with that, because there are some shows that if I happen to catch it while I'm flipping through the channels, like the Cooks Illustrated, the one that it gets really into that, or the America's Test Kitchen, I think is what it's called. Absolutely, because that to me is explaining the why it's happening, what it's doing, what you're looking for, really the education of it. And I enjoy that.
And you went to the CIA for your education as well, and that was in New York?
That's correct. So I actually graduated Eureka High School in 1989. And from there, I went to Portland, Oregon to go to Western Culinary Institute, graduated there in 1992, and returned to Humboldt County. I worked at various places there, from Eureka Baking Company as like their croissant roller and making, you know, the sourdough and different pastries and such, to working at the Benbow Inn, to working at Eureka Inn. And then it was about 1999, and the world was coming to an end with the Y2K and all that other stuff. And you know, I was just really reflecting upon what's next. You know, I've done these wonderful things. I've worked at these fabulous places. I really, really love Humboldt County, but I had greater ambitions. And not wanting to own my own place, in order for me to expand my professional world, I had to leave Humboldt County. And having a perfectly good job and being perfectly employed, doing great stuff at great places, how do you explain to your family and friends that you're quitting?
Uh-huh.
You need like a good solid plan. Like, what are you going to do, April? You're going to quit. You already have all this stuff. So I returned to school, and having already had the culinary degree, I actually pursued a degree in baking and pastry at the Culinary Institute of America on the main campus in Hyde Park, New York. I graduated there in 2001. Continued there, got my bachelor's degree from them as well, and graduated in 2003 with that. And then I stayed on with the college. Started as a culinary demonstrator, so I traveled the country doing what I love to do, which is culinary arts, and then teaching people and instructing culinary educators, professionals, food enthusiasts. So I got to travel around a lot doing that, working for the CIA. Then from there, I just kind of continued to move and grow within the organization. And when they opened this campus in San Antonio, then I saw an opportunity to do something else that I really love, and that's continuing to educate the next, you know, generation of chefs. And so in my role as director of education, I oversee all of our degree programs, but I also oversee all of our food enthusiast continuing education programs and custom programs.
So one of the things I wonder about is getting young people to cook. Do you have some ideas on how to get young people started and interested in cooking?
Sure. One, get them outside the kitchen. And what I mean by that is expose them to go to farmers markets, go to local farms, plant your own garden. I think in some ways there's a disconnect between our food coming from a box in the grocery store and coming from people. And who are those people and who are the farmers and things like that. The more that anybody is exposed to, you know, how difficult it is to be a farmer and to grow the food. And the fact that from fresh ingredients, you can get all of these fabulous things, that things don't just come in styrofoam trays. They don't just come in boxes in the freezer section. So I think as much as a kid can be exposed to fresh produce and working with fresh ingredients, learning how to make, you know, something as simple as spaghetti sauce. Sure, it's easy to buy it in a jar on the shelf, but my goodness, it only has, you know, tomatoes, garlic, onions, you know, and some herbs and stuff. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Even the simplest things, I think, is a start.
Great. Well, we don't have a lot of opportunity in Humboldt County to take classes at the Culinary Institute of America, but June Walsh, April's mom, volunteers at the Humboldt Botanical Garden, and April will be teaching a couple of workshops. Those are coming up. There will be two workshops on Saturday, August 6th, one at 10:30 and one at 1. If you're interested in attending, you must pre-register because there's going to be extremely limited seating by either calling the Humboldt Botanical Garden Foundation at 442-5139. That phone number again is 442-5139 or going to hbgf.org. Thanks so much, April, for joining us today.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody when I return to Humboldt County in a couple of weeks.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.